Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. I am super excited to talk to you today about how to hire help. Now, we've been talking a lot about all the different things that make you productive. But the bottom line is you only have 24 hours and you can't do it all. So sometimes it's worth it to hire help in order to meet your own personal, business, or family goals. Now, I'm going to specifically only talk about hiring household help today. Someone to help clean your house, take care of your kids, take care of your parents when they're ill, run errands, those kind of hiring help tasks. And I understand that it costs money to hire people, but sometimes you have goals that you need to do that to achieve. So I'm just going to tell you how I've done it. So you only have 24 hours and you cannot do it all. I was talking to my cousin the other day and she had just, she was relating to me a speaker who had spoken to her husband's doctor's class. And they had said that you can only do three things at any one time. And once you have more than three major roles in your life, one starts to fall away. And as she was saying this, it made total sense to me, and I could see that that was completely true in my life. So if you are a wife, a mother, and you own a house, that is three roles. If you add in working, one of those three roles is going to suffer. If you are a single mom with a house and a job, that's three things. That'll work. Not easily, but it'll work. And what I found personally was that I had all four of those roles. I was a mother, I was a wife, I was a business owner, and we owned a home. And the thing that was always sacrificed in my case was the time with my husband. Literally, when I started hiring help, we were down to spending almost no time together at all, other than 5 to 10 minute conversations as we passed throughout the house. And you need to come to grips with owning a house takes 28 hours a week on average in the United States. That's cooking, cleaning, shopping, maintenance, bill paying, all of the things related to being a homeowner and all of the things that go along with that. If you rent, you don't have as much maintenance. Maybe you have fewer hours. But no matter how you slice it, it is a significant amount of time just taking care of general living tasks. And likely, or also, as a human, you need to shower every day, do laundry every week. Well, laundry is included in that 28 hours I just said. But they're just daily tasks that are required for everyone all of the time. You don't have all 24 hours a day allotted to whatever you want. You have to sleep. You have to maintain your body. You have to maintain the place that you live. And you have to have some kind of an income. So I talk a lot on the podcast about having children, and there are two reasons for this. Number one, I do. I have kids, so I'm going to talk about it. But number two, you know, children take a lot of time. They take a lot of time. And if you don't have children, I know it is frustrating to hear about children in podcasts like this, but if you do have children, there aren't as many people out there telling you how to get it done with children. It's either assumed you get it done by not having children, or if you have children, you just can't get it done. So for example, I was quoted in Fast Company a couple of weeks ago in an article with eight productivity experts. It was a very balanced article. It had four women and four men. So you would think this is great. This is going to give you a balanced view on how to have a more productive morning was the name of the article. However, of the eight people that responded, I was the only one who had childcare issues in the morning. I was the only one working my morning routine around my family. The three women, two didn't have children, and the third one was an empty nester. And all four men, whether they had children or not, never mentioned them at all. So having children is an issue. Like it's not like Hunter where I could be like, go play outside or I'm going to take you to puppy school or go get in your crate. I mean, children are little human beings and they require more than just care. I mean, you have to teach them and mold them and it is a big, big responsibility. So if you live in a house and you have children and you are still married, that is three things. So if you want to also work, or you want to also be the head of the PTA, or if you want to also run a marathon, that's a fourth thing. You're adding in a fourth thing. And whenever you add in a fourth thing, something else is going to suffer. And once my cousin and I had this discussion and I really thought about it, I thought, you know what? That is the frustration I constantly feel. I love being a mom and a wife and a homeowner. I love it. But I also love running my business, Organize 365, and communicating with you guys and being able to think and analyze and come up with how to explain organization to people on a regular basis. I love that. And I've decided that for me, I don't want to give up being a mom or a wife or a homeowner in order to make time for my Organize 365 business. So yes, I hire a lot of help in my Organize 365 business so that I only work about 30 to 35 hours a week, but I still get about 60 hours worth of work done because I have a lot of people that help me. But there are some routine tasks around the house that I can also outsource that do not take away from my mothering, my wifedom, or my home ownership. Specifically, I'm always talking about how I have my house cleaned. Now, I'm not always talking about how I have my house cleaned to make you feel bad because you don't have yours cleaned, or like, oh my gosh, Lisa's so rich, she can have her house cleaned. No, we kind of sacrificed to have our house cleaned. I have my house cleaned because that is a lot of time each week. Like, the housekeeper is in and out of here in 3 hours every other week. But for me to do that myself, to clean our house, it would take me 6 hours every single week, because it's not that I'm less efficient. It's just, I don't know, it takes a lot longer when I do it myself. But knowing that somebody else is doing that frees up that time. So I just have to maintain what she does on a regular basis, and I never have to really think about cleaning the house. Another thing that we have hired out over the last, decade and a half is babysitting. I loved being a babysitter. I have no problem hiring babysitters for date nights, or if I have to go to a convention, or if I need to work, or I just need a break. I have no problem hiring babysitters. And I have hired most of our home help from care.com. Almost all of our babysitters have come from care.com. And care.com also has pet sitting services, errand running, housekeeping, and elder care. Now, we didn't need that for my dad, and I didn't live near my sister, but care.com is where I would have looked in order to get help for my dad. And a lot of times when I'm talking to people about organizing their home and not having enough time, they're taking care of their parents. And taking care of their parents is a full-time job, and they need to get help with that. So hiring help gives you more hours in your day. We each only have 24 hours a day, and really, we don't have that many of those that are under our control, and we're only able to do about three things at a time. So in order to be able to do four or more, I hire help. Now, an interesting thing happens when you hire help, just like when you pay for the 100-day home organization challenge. Paying for something changes how you look at it. So if you're going to pay someone to clean your house, whether you do or don't, right now, pay someone to clean your house, you look at that task differently and you put a different value on it. When the day before the housekeeper comes, I run around this house like crazy, starting the laundry, picking everything up, making sure it's easy for her to clean our home. And it holds me accountable. When you don't have somebody coming that's going to clean your home, then you can always do it tomorrow. Or you get tired. For me, on Sunday, when I get tired doing the home tasks that I do, I say, oh, I'm going to do that Monday. I don't. Like, it's next Sunday that I do it. Whatever day you do your home organizing tasks on, if it's laundry day and you don't get all the way done with the laundry on that day, you're not going to get all the way done on the laundry the next day. You wait until the next big laundry day to try to get all the way done on the laundry again. So when you hire someone to help you, it kind of forces you to meet your own timetables that you have. So I'm going to go through here. First, I want to talk to you about three reasons why you should hire help, and then 10 steps to actually hiring your first person. So number one is realizing that you can't do it all. And when you go to hire someone to help you with babysitting, caretaking, errand running, laundry, housekeeping, yard maintenance, you're saying that it is important enough that this gets done on a regular basis so that I don't have to do it, but I know that it gets done. And you eliminate things that, okay, maybe you want them to be done on a regular basis, but not enough that you want to pay somebody to do them. So hiring help is also a prioritizer. Helps you know what you really do and don't want done. And throughout this whole process, we're going to be doing prioritizing. So you realize you can't do it all and you want to hire someone. So number two, it's important enough for you to get someone to do this every single week or on a regular basis so that you know it's done and you know it's done regularly. And the other thing that does is that allows you to have more freedom in your brain because you stop thinking about that task that's not getting done. But the most important thing is number three. I am going to use that freed up time to do what? Remember the very first productivity episode that I had, my question to you was, why do you even want to be more productive? Like the point of being more productive and being more efficient with what you do is not to be able to do more housework, right? It's to be able to have free time to do what? What was it that you said all those episodes ago that you wanted to have that free time for? This is the same thing. By going through all of these productivity episodes, you are learning to be more efficient with your time and to prioritize what you want done. So what is it that you're trying to get more time for? Do you want to train for and run for a marathon? So that means that you need to be able to find 6 to 8 hours each week in order to do that. Then having your house cleaned just while you're training for this marathon may find that time for you. Do you want to be able to start a side business and you could do that in 10 to 15 hours a week? So if you hired a babysitter one day a week for 8 hours, that would give you half that time and that would lead towards that goal. Do you want to tackle and organize your entire house and you need 5 hours a week to put towards that goal? But if somebody would clean and maintain your house and do the cleaning for you in each area as you get it organized, then you can keep focusing on the decluttering. What is it that you want to free up this time to do? All right, so you've determined why you want to free up the time and why it's important to you that this gets done regularly. Now, I want to talk to you about if you could wave a magic wand and this task that you were going to hire for could be done completely. What would that look like? So when I was hiring somebody to clean our house, I've had three different people clean our house over the years. I think it's been three. All three of them did these things that I'm going to tell you that are not normal housekeeping tasks. The first one is, like my number one requisite of someone cleaning our house, is that they will clean the kitchen floor on their hands and knees with a rag and not a mop. And I know that sounds like so labor intensive, but when I would clean people's houses, that's how I would clean their kitchen floors myself. And I really feel like a kitchen floor isn't clean unless you clean it on your hands and knees and really get down there. And in addition, we have a pergo floor, and any other way you clean it, it does not matter. It will show streaks. But if you clean it on your hands and knees with a washcloth, it won't. Even if you use the same formulation of I use a capful of Mr. Clean with really hot water, even if you use that any other way, it will show streaks unless you get down there on your hands and knees and do it. And for the years that I didn't have a housekeeper, I would go weeks without cleaning the kitchen floor unless I could clean it on my hands and knees because it didn't show as much dirt dirty as it did if you didn't clean it that way. So that's my number one thing. So my housekeepers have all, you know, cleaned floors that way. And that's a big eliminator. Like you lose a lot of people when you say that's the thing that you want. The second one is my husband says I generate so much trash. And I do. Like I generate a lot of trash and we have a lot of trash cans in this house. Like, you know, my office is in my bedroom. So I have an office trash can, a trash can by my bed, a trash can in the bathroom, a trash can in the area where the toilet is, and then all the trash cans in every other room of the house. So I want all of the trash cans in every single room emptied, which most housekeepers do, but it's a really big deal for me. So I always make sure that I tell them when I hire them that this is a really big deal for me. And then the last thing is I want the master bed sheets changed every time they come, which is every other week. Because left to my own devices, you do not want to know how long it takes me to change sheets on a bed. And I like that. I like fresh, clean sheets. So it's worth it for me to be paying for a housekeeper to have all of the trash cans emptied, the kitchen floor clean, and the sheets changed. Now, there's a lot more that they do than that, but those are the three things that are really important to me. So when you're looking to hire a caregiver, an errand runner, a laundry doer, a housekeeper, or a babysitter, what are the things that are really important to you that they get done? So that is number one on our list. make a job description. In your dream world, what are all the things that this person would do? So a housekeeper is a pretty easy one. I'm going to take you through what I did when we were hiring a babysitter for Abby on Saturdays. So Abby had a 10-hour babysitter on Saturday for years and years and years. And essentially what we were doing was freeing up time for Greg and I to connect and Joey to have some space and Abby to be entertained. And it was a very unique job description that I created. We were looking for a babysitter who could drive, that would come to the house and pick her up, take her out to breakfast, and then create some kind of a field trip type experience, whether they went to the park or Michael's for craft show, the craft hour, or to the library. Sometimes we would buy a Kings Island pass. We would buy a museum center pass. They could go to those. They could go to a movie. And then they would have lunch. You'd come home around 1 or 2. And then they would be here until around 7 or 8. And Greg and I would go on a date each of those nights. So I would make a really big list of what I wanted this babysitter to do. And over the years, we had 4 or 5 of these babysitters. So each time I had to hire another one, I would have more things on the description list from what I liked about the last babysitter I'd done and more ideas about what to do with an older child on a Saturday. So I have a big, long dream list of what this babysitter would do with Abby. And I specifically would look for people who like to cook and liked pets, because those were two things that Abby loved and were not really strengths of mine. So if I could find those in a babysitter, that was going to be even more of a win-win for her. This is really important when you're hiring a caregiver for your parents. Think about your parents, what they like, what they don't like, what they like to talk about, and be really, really specific. Do they like to be touched or do they not like to be touched? When you ask them a question, do you need to count to 20 in your head before expecting an answer from them because they are a slower processor? Is the medicine that they need to be given at an exact time, or is it within half an hour? Are you specific about the foods that you want them to eat or the amount of calories, or is it more up to your parent? How strict do you want to be about that? Make sure that you say you do not want a smoker if you don't want them to smell of smoke when they come into your house. Sometimes it's okay if they have a child or want to bring a child on the job. There was a babysitter I was considering. We didn't end up hiring her, but I was considering her. And it would have been okay if she brought her child with her on the job. Is that okay? If you have someone that's highly allergic to pets, make sure the person that you're hiring doesn't have pets of their own, because they'll come in with pet dander on them. So it's a lot of things to think about, but it's kind of like when I told you about creating your dream home when you're moving. Create your dream candidate. If you could pick Mary Poppins out to come take care of your mom or your child or your home for you, what would that perfect person be like? And make that whole list. Now, one, this is going to help you find that person. But two, sometimes that person materializes out of thin air once you put down exactly what you want. So number two, you need to find this person. And I have had the most success finding people on care.com. So if you go to organize365.com/care, you'll be able to see all of these things that I'm telling you in this blog post. And there's also a link in here to get 20% off if you become a premier member. And that's my affiliate link. So I always invite, I go through and I look at all the profiles of the people that are close to me, the things that I want. Oh, and I forgot to tell you, I've hired a lot of tutors from care.com also. So I look at exactly what I want in the person and figure out about 10 to 20 people that I think would be good candidates. I usually have 2 or 3 that are my favorites, but I pick out a good 20 people to send messages to and say, hey, here's my job description. Are you interested in interviewing for this job? Now, I pick out that many because I'm always hiring part-time. And like a Saturday babysitting job, I've always been able to hire somebody, but a lot of people will immediately reply, no, I'm not interested in that. Or if I'm just hiring for 1 day a week, they really want a full-time job, so they can't really take a 1 day a week job if I want a Tuesday or Wednesday or something like that. So ask a lot of people. I find 50% of the people will never even reply to you. About 50%, you know, another 25% will say no. And then you'll get down to a couple that say yes. Okay, so now we have a couple that have said yes. Once you get somebody to say yes, then you need to schedule an in-person interview at your house on the day that you want regular service. This is important. You want them to be able to find your house. I'm always making sure that they get there early or on time at the latest. If they're late for the interview, they will be late every single day you ever have them, and that stresses me out to no end when people are late. So they need to show up early or on time. That's something I'm definitely checking for. So they found your house, they're early or they're on time, and you always want to interview them on the same day that you want regular service. So I would interview all of the babysitters for Abby's job on Saturdays. Because if they can't come to the interview on Saturday, then they're not going to be able to work for you on Saturday. So if you want a regular Friday night babysitter, interview them on Friday night. So whatever day and time you want them to come, interview them. If it's more of a like a housekeeper job and they can pick the day, then have them pick the day for the interview and make sure that works for you. Number four is to be flexible. You have a list of everything that you want in a dream candidate. And I'm sure they have a list of everything they want in a dream employer. So be a dream employer. You want to make this a win-win situation. If you've really taken the time, and I usually take about 3 hours or more to go through all those candidates on care.com and really find what I'm looking for. Sometimes I add things to my job description based on what they have in their job description. That's how I came up with people who like to do crafts, play with pets, and cooking. I didn't have those on my list, but people would put that in their description in care.com. And I'd be like, oh yeah, that would be really cool. She does like cooking and I hate it. And that would be really fun for her. So some of those things in that job description came from what they put in their profile. And ask them what would make it fun for them. That's why we bought a Kings Island pass, was because one of the babysitters we had loved Kings Island and Abby wanted to go. So we bought them both Kings Island passes for the season. And it really was less expensive than some of the other options we had been doing. So let them have an input into what would, how they can help you. If it's a job that's not just house cleaning, which is pretty cut and dry, if it's taking care of your child or helping you generally as a personal assistant or helping take care of your parents, ask them what they've done in the past or what they've seen to be successful, and that will help you as well. But know what you want done no matter what. Like, no matter what, I don't care how great of a housekeeper you are, if you're not going to clean my kitchen floor on your hands and knees, it's not going to work. So know what your no matter what things are that have to be done. Like, you have to show up 5 minutes early. You have to not touch mom, and her medicines have to be given at this time. And I know you're going to feel like a Nazi telling all of this stuff, being so strict that these are the things that you have to do and when you have to do them. But as an employer, I'll do it from a teacher. When you're a teacher in a classroom, you're always very strict at the beginning of the school year. And you set the bar and the expectations very high for the children. And then as the school year goes on, you can have fun and you can have days when you kick back and lay back and that's just fine. And oh, you're half an hour late. That's okay. But then the next day you might say, remember, the expectations are X, Y, Z. And the kids in the classroom just snap to attention because they know that you've set the bar, that you are the authority and you are in charge. And it's okay to have fun. But at the end of the day, you're the employer. So make sure that you do that as well with the people you're hiring. It is very uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable to have people come into your house and for you to be interviewing them for a job. The more you do it, the better you get at it. You will always make mistakes, and then you'll just remember the next time, oh, that's right. If they were 5 minutes late to the interview, they're out. Like, they never end up coming on time. They just don't. I don't care what their excuse is. They don't. When I have a new job to go to, I end up getting there half an hour early and parking around the street so I could still pull up 5 minutes early. I do this all the time today. They didn't allow for that. So they're going to get caught by a train and you're not going to make your meeting because they couldn't get there in time to be with your mom. So remember that. Okay, number five. Hire for a long-time relationship, not a one-off task. So I love hiring people. And when people work in your home with your family, it is a very intimate relationship. You really need to trust your gut on this one. If you're interviewing someone and all of their answers seem absolutely perfect, but there's just something that's not sitting right with you, don't hire them. Even if that means that you don't have someone when you really need someone, because I am telling you, It will be 3 months, 6 months from now. Something will happen. You'll be like, I knew something like this was going to happen because you knew it in the interview. So trust your gut. So a great example, one of our best babysitters, when she came through and interviewed, I was like, on paper, it didn't seem like it would work. But in my gut, I was like, this is the right person. But I ended up hiring somebody else. 3 months later, the person that, you know, answered all the questions correctly, but I didn't have the great gut feeling about, but that's the person I hired, ended up doing something really, really stupid. So I had to let her go. So I immediately called back the other person. I was like, do you still have time? And she's like, yes. She was with us for years. She was perfect. She was awesome. We love her. She's part of the family. So even though you have this list and even though you know what you want, trust your gut. You know who's going to be a good fit for your family. And hire for someone that's going to be there for a long time, not just a couple weeks or a couple of months. Who could you really see spending a lot of time with and getting to know better? And I already covered this one. Number six, remember this is a job. Don't get too chummy too fast. Maintain your role as employer and have safe boundaries. All right. Number seven, negotiate. A lot of you, when I said, okay, what are your questions about hiring help? A lot of the questions came in about how do you decide how much to pay them? How do you pay them? How do you negotiate? So I have two thoughts on this. Number one, think about what you would want to be paid if you were doing the job that you were asking them to do. Number two, figure out what the going rate is now and what you can afford to pay. And sometimes all three of those numbers are different, like what you would like to be paid, what you can afford to pay, and what the going rate is may all be different. I tend to not pay the very lowest rate out there or the very highest. I tend to pay right in the middle because I don't want to pay a lower rate and have someone who maybe doesn't have as much experience or doesn't feel like I value their time as much. Yet I generally cannot afford to pay the top end of the pay scale either because that just doesn't fit into our family finances. So I usually tend to pay about 20% over whatever the lowest rate is, 20 to 30% over. And you can negotiate that. So I usually have in my mind, okay, what I want to pay is $12 an hour. And when we get to the end of the interview, if I think it's going really well, then I will approach that and I will say, and I always put it to them first, did you have a dollar amount in mind that you are asking for? Now on care.com, the great thing is it will tell you how much they charge per hour. So if there's a tutor that charges $50 to $75 an hour, I don't even interview them because I don't have that kind of money for a tutor. And there'll be tutors that work for $10 to $20 an hour. I tend to hire the ones that are usually $20 to $30 an hour. So I already know that the range is going to be $20 to $30, right? So then that's their opportunity to say, I'm $30 an hour or I'm $20 an hour. I don't know where they are in their mind in that range. And then you also want to think, what can you offer them that is not financial, but is also a benefit? So let's say they say, well, I'm $15 an hour. And they have, so for the Saturday job, my job is 10 hours a week, but let's say they have to work at a job every Saturday night. And I say, well, what if I could make my job only 7 hours a week and you're done at 4:30 every day and we'll feed you dinner and then you go straight to your job. And they say, oh, that's great. Well, then they're going to be willing to do that job for $12 an hour because they can't find another job that's going to fit into their Saturday before their evening job perfectly. You see what I'm saying? Or because we're going to pay for dinner, then that's another, you know, $8 to $10 they don't have to spend that day. So that saves a little bit of money. So think about what their goals are in earning money or in time, or if they can bring their child with them to your job, then you can pay them less because they don't have to find childcare for their babysitter. If they can cook their family's meal in your home while taking care of your mom so that when they go home with their casserole already cooked to feed their family, that saves them a lot of time when they get home. So the more you can think about their needs and what they need to get out of this job, both while they're at the job financially, but also in their general life picture, the more win-win it is for them. Number eight, start with a trial. So this is something I've been doing over the last couple of years and it works great. Once you've picked your winner and you're ready to start, then start with a 30-day trial and say, okay, we're going to try this for 30 days and see how it goes. And then your job, and this is uncomfortable, but you need to do it. Your job at the end of the 30 days, at the end of that day, is to sit down with them with coffee and say, okay, how is it going for you? What do you like? What don't you like? What would you like to see change? Let it all be on them. Let them tell you what they're seeing. You know what you're seeing on your end. And then say, okay, maybe it comes up, it would be easier for them if they could come half an hour earlier and leave a half an hour earlier. Or maybe they'd rather work two longer days instead of three shorter days like you have it. Or, you know, maybe they have something that would be a suggestion. This is also the time where you need to bring up anything that has bothered you in that first 30 days, because if it bothers you in the first 30 days, it will drive you nuts the rest of the time you work with them. So if you're seeing that they are showing up late, then this is when you say, you know, I noticed that you're arriving a few minutes late and I really need you to be a few minutes early. Do you think that you could come at 10 till instead of whatever the time is? Now, if they're 5 minutes late, they're coming at 5 till. Or I noticed that you're not emptying the trash when you're done taking care of my mom. Could you please make sure that you've emptied all the kitchen trash when you're done taking care of my mom? Or anything like that that's come up. You just make sure. I love to have a checklist. So I have a checklist for anybody who works for me. And so they know that when they come and work that there's this checklist. And at the end of that checklist, I would just have added that, please empty trash for mom. And every, I don't know, 6 weeks to 8 weeks, I usually add something to the checklist. Hey, I was wondering if you would be able to, individual baggie all these nuts for me each week. That would really help. And if they say yes, I just put it on the checklist. So you always have this checklist that you're going back to. And that's when now they are on retainer. They are your regular person. So it's great to start with that trial. So number 9 is be a good employer. I love being an employer. Like my third year in business, I hired so many people that I didn't make any money whatsoever because I was just paying people, because I love to create teams and hire people. Treat everyone that you hire like they are a valued member of your team. Remember important events in their lives and what they have going on when they are not with you. Pay them fairly and ethically. So if you should be paying taxes, pay taxes. Now, I can run it through my, I have a payroll system for my company, so I can run anybody I hire through my payroll system. But what I love is, this is new with Care.com. They didn't have this when I first started working with them, but they do now. You can actually pay your person through Care.com. And that will take out all the appropriate taxes and files and everything that you need to do, as opposed to having to set all that up on your end. So if you found somebody on Care.com, I highly encourage you to pay them through Care.com. That way you don't have to worry about that. You know everything is legitimate and it's all being recorded by a third party person. So the last thing about hiring help, number 10, is enjoy your newfound time. This is what is really hard to do. Once you get that newfound time, remember why you wanted it to begin with. Was it so that you could go on a date with your spouse every week? Was it so you had more uninterrupted time with your kids at night and you were able to read those two stories at night that you've always wanted to? Was it so that you could run that marathon? What was the reason why you decided to outsource this time? Because the last thing you want to do is get rid of the housekeeping so that you can end up just doing more household-related tasks. The purpose is not for us to spend our whole life taking care of this house. The purpose is to get the house as organized as we can, as streamlined as we can, and have someone else helping us clean it so we can enjoy what we were meant to do. Like, what is it you were meant to do? What's the passion that you should be pursuing? You can find all of the information, the list that I had in here, the link to care.com, by going to organize365.com/care. And I'll be back with you next Wednesday, and we're going to talk about how to organize sporting equipment, all the way from little kids' sports up through adult sports. How do you organize that all? How do you keep it all? How can you get it and resell it? And all of those questions will be answered next Wednesday. You guys have a great week.